This is the eighth message so far on the message of the baptism of and in and by the Holy Spirit. We've done a series on it, and this one I'll be dealing with tongues and it being the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There will be one more I know on tongues, which will describe the three purposes in the Bible concerning tongues. Now, what I'm saying is that most people don't understand that, particularly people that have not been around Pentecost, think that tongues, when you say it, it means it all. It doesn't. What tongues means is there are three purposes for tongues. And I'll be dealing with that on another tape. But what I want to really deal with today is that tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you need to know this so that you can... What do you question most about in your life, Pentecostals? What are you questioned the most about? Tongues. And so this message and the next message will be important for your understanding so that you can explain this phenomena to people. So pay attention, take your notes. And when you deal with people, you know how to answer them as you ought to. Now, the word tongues is the Greek word glossa, and it means the tongue. It means a language, but it means specifically one naturally unacquired. Specifically one that you did not naturally unacquire. And in the book of Acts, there is one of the three purposes that I just told you that tongues were for. Every time in the book of Acts, one of those is used, or only one. And that purpose is for the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every time in the book of Acts. Now, most New Testament Bible scholars place tongues back yonder, 2,000 years ago. And the first thing that I want to do is show you three scriptures that I believe that if the Lord would have really wanted us to believe that, and go with that kind of a thought, that he would have made it clear. And I believe he made it clear that it wasn't that way. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2 to start with. Verse 38 and 39. Peter here preaching. Now, I don't believe that Peter would have said what he said here had tongues just been for one primary age. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And 38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What is the world asking today? What shall we do? My goodness. Then Peter said unto them, repent. That's the first thing. Initial salvation always includes repentance. If you don't repent, you ain't got it. If there's not a lifestyle change, forget it. And be baptized, every one of you. That's water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. That means you have transferred from one kingdom into another. He becomes the owner of you. Most people don't understand what baptism really means, but water baptism means you have been transferred. Ownership of you has been transferred from Satan, who is the god of this world, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you want to own you? One or the other owns you. You ain't got no choice. One or the other is going to own you. For the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 39, for the promise is unto you, now these were those that he was speaking to at Jerusalem, and to your children, this would have been the next generation, and to that are afar off, that would have been the next generation and the next generation, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now has he called you? Well then the baptism, the promise that I'm speaking of here is for you. This verse completely eradicates any sort of dispensational aspects of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As many as he shall call. Does it say they're up until A.D. 100? Or up to A.D. 200? No. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to those that were at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Every man, for what purpose? To profit the body. Given to every man Not just Peter and James and John and Matthew and those there in those days. Every man. In Mark 16, let's see what Jesus said about it. Verse 16. Well, let's go to 15. We'll get the whole world involved in this thing. Is that all right? Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what are you going to do when you preach this gospel to all the creatures when you go into all the world? And he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, your Bible scholars will tell you that this wasn't in the original manuscript. Well, then you got to get away with from baptism. You got to get in for going on into all the world. None of that's in there then, if that's not. They shall take up serpents and drink deadly things, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'm not going to talk about taking up snakes. And I could, but verse 17 is what I want. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, did I just show you that it is not for one dispensation? And there's no such thing of claiming it and then getting it later. I want to put this on here right now. You're not going to claim you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit today and your tongues will come two months later. Now, you can believe that you'll get it, but you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit until you speak with tongues. Now, somebody says they always do. Well, I don't believe in talking in tongues. Well, then I want to challenge you, and I dare you, in fact, to follow me through the Scriptures this morning and let the Bible say what the Bible says. And if God be God, then let's serve Him. Okay? If the Word says it, that should settle it. And if I can prove it to you, then that discrepancy, I don't know where it comes from. I'll just be honest with you. Let's start in Ephesians 5, 17. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Whereby be not dumb, whereby be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Does God want you to understand His will? Do you believe that God's will is for you to touch this city? Do you believe that God really wants you involved in what He's doing today? Do you really believe that God wants you to go forth into all of the world and preach this gospel? And your world is Lafayette, Tryon, Somerville, or wherever. That's your world. And you're supposed to go into it. And He said, God did, in the book of Joel 2:28, we all know this one, that in the last days He would pour out His Spirit upon some of the flesh. All flesh. He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And it says then that His sons and His daughters would prophesy. Now that's a gift of the Spirit. That His sons and His daughters would prophesy. And the old men would dream dreams. And the new men, and young men would see visions. But it would come on some of the flesh. All of the flesh. So His desire, His will for you is to get involved in what He's doing today. And in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit of God. Do you see, now you answer me truth, do you see in there if you want to be? Is it an if you want to, or is it if be filled with the Spirit? Well, then why do we, 2,000 years later, make it optional? I was thinking just before class, just before church started, in Sunday school class, there, I can't remember anybody in the book of Acts who received salvation that didn't get infilled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't remember one. And I really thought, and maybe there's some there. I don't know. But I know that Philip went to Samaria, and we're going to look at that in just a second. Philip went to Samaria, and he got him saved, and he got him water baptized, but he couldn't bring forth the Holy Ghost for some reason. So he went and got some Holy Ghost specialists and brought the Holy Ghost specialists up there just to make sure they got it. But 2,000 years later, somehow we make all this optional. You don't even have to be water baptized. I don't understand us. I don't understand us. Is it clear in black and white and red? Well, where do I want to go now? I said this a while ago, but do you know what you know what you know? You that are married, do you know that you're married? If I come up to you and I said, if I come up to your spouse and I said, are you married? And they said, well, I really don't know what I would think about that person. And if I come up to you and I say, have you experienced salvation? And you said, well, what would you think? How do you know? You know because your spirit bears witness with his spirit that you are a child of God. He makes it known to you. God thinks enough of us to let us know what we know. Now, you that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, how do you know you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Say it loud, I want to hear it.
Tongues.
Tongues. There is no other evidence given in the Bible. None. You can't find any other thing that takes the place of the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is tongues. Now, I'm sorry. And I looked, you know, before. I want to find another way. Sounded foolish to me. But then I remembered what James said. That's the most unruly member I got. And it's filled with fire and deadly poison. And God wants the most unruly member I got. Because out of the abundance of my heart, my tongue speaks. If I can get him in that way, he can control my whole body. He said, we put a bit in a horse's mouth and we can control that whole thing. We can put a rudder on a boat, we can control that whole thing. How is God going to control you? Why the tongue? God wants you. I guarantee you, if I walk up to you right now and I grab your tongue, I can lead you anywhere. Give him your tongue. Give him your tongue. All right. John chapter 3, verse 8. That's good, ain't it? I'm glad I put that in there. That was supposed to be at the end of the thing. So I'm glad I stuck it right there. That's good. John chapter 3. Jesus is here talking to one of these Bible scholars, Nicodemus. He's a learned ruler. He's a teacher of the word. He tells him, you know, you must be born again. And except you're born of the Spirit and of the water, then you won't even see the kingdom of God. Now, so get in it now, does it? He says, you won't even see it. And then verse 8 is what I want. Jesus is now talking here. In some of your Bibles, this is red letters. Verse 8. It says, the wind bloweth. Now, speaking of the Spirit, the wind there is the Greek word pneuma, and it means the breath, the wind, and the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. That means wherever it wants to go. And thou hearest the sound thereof. Now, what I'm capitalizing on is the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's going to make a noise. It's going to make a sound. When this thing happens in you, a sound is going to come forth. You're going to make a sound, and it's the sound of tongues. You're going to hear something. That's what I'm getting at. If you're born of the Spirit thing, you're going to hear something. Acts chapter 2. Let's follow this up just a little bit. A lot of scripture this morning. It's all right. You won't have to listen to me tonight. I got to give it all to you now. Acts chapter 2 again, verse 33. Therefore, being of the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. What's it talking about? Holy Ghost. He hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. When the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to hear something. And you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. But you're going to hear it. And you're going to see its effects on life. What did they see and hear here? They saw 120 people acting differently. What did they hear? Tongues. Tongues. I'm coming back here again in just a second. I'm just hitting some of these other ones. Well, I've got these. 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says it's going to give it to every man. He's talking there to the church. And then in Mark 16:17. So that's pretty much covers that initial thought that I want to give you now. But in the book of Acts, and we'll stay here for the rest of the day, let's just start here on Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 is what I want. But before I say that, I'm going to show you now that there are 5 times in the book of Acts that the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place. 5 separate individual times. And I'm going to show you that in all 5 times that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of it was tongues. All 5 times. I'll either show you directly from the Word of God that it says they spake in tongues, which was in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19. Or in Acts chapter 8, I'll show you there by the actual Greek word. And then in Acts chapter 9, I'll show you by the comparison of scriptures. Now that's how you study the Bible. Either by directly what it says, by looking at the Greek words, or by comparing the scriptures. And if you'll do those things on all sorts of questions that you'll have, you'll know what God has said about it. Now let me say this. This is very, very important. The evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is tongues, but the evidence of a Spirit-filled life is not tongues. I've seen a lot of Spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians who did not lead a Spirit-filled life. They weren't following after the things of the Spirit, but they were following after the things of the flesh. And that's why it is so important to understand that Jesus didn't say you'll know them by their abilities to talk in tongues. He says you'll know them by their fruits. Matthew chapter 7. You've got to know that. It is not the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. It is the evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism. Now, there's a tremendous difference there. Tremendous difference. Let me ask you, see if you got it. Because I talk in tongues, does that mean that I am Spirit-filled? Okay, I'll give you that. Then does it mean that I lead a Spirit-filled life? Okay. What proves my life? My fruits. Okay. And you really need to know that because it'll help you answer a lot of questions. A lot of questions. Somebody comes into the church and you know they have lived in a life that they shouldn't be living. And they come in and they bring forth a message in tongues. Is it valid? Are they Spirit-filled? Yeah. You see? It could be a very valid message of tongues. And you might not receive it because you know the life. But you might miss God. They are Spirit-filled. They have these gifts. They bring that gift forth. It is valid. But that doesn't mean they're living a life filled with God. In other words, their life is not producing the fruits. Do you see what I'm trying to say? The difference. Are the gifts and the callings of God with repentance or without repentance? Without repentance. When He gives it to you, you got it. So that'll help you. Does that help you? Do you understand some things? Does it help you a little bit? You need to know that is the baptism, that is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it is not the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Your fruits are the evidence of the Spirit-filled life, of a life that is led by the Lord, walking after the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. All right. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Were they all filled and spake in tongues? Those filled did what? Okay. Not some of those that were filled spake in tongues. Those that were filled spake in tongues. Now, you got to understand, while I'm here, let me get it real quick. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I can't chase rabbits. I know that. We've got to eat a big dinner and all that stuff. That's a lot more important than this word, isn't it? 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Hurry. I feel y'all saying, hurry, devil. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This is the Old Testament type of the Holy Ghost day of Pentecost. This is the Old Testament type. I'm gonna read real quick verses 12 on down through 14. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, Asaph and Heman and Dethuah, and their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, now that's righteousness, Revelations 19, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood up in the east end of the altar. And now what this is, what I'm reading to you about here, is Solomon's temple. This is the dedication of Solomon's temple. And with them, how many? 120. How many were in the upper room? 120. 120 priests here. You have been made unto him, kings and priests. Sounding with what? What are they sounding with? Trumpets. Well, I won't get into that. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, they said that in Acts chapter 2, they were in one accord, in one mind, wasn't it? Homothamadon. Were as one to make one sound. How would you like to have a church filled with people making but one sound? Homothamadon. Everybody making the same sound. To be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Woo! And when they lifted up their voice, you mean they had to do something. What'd they do? They lifted up their voice. They lifted up their voice. When people come down for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I lay hands on them, I instruct them to lift up their voice to God, because part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is magnifying Him. And if they begin to lift that up in the natural, from the spirit realm, way down from deep within, utterance will come forth, the Spirit. They lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments. Everything was making the same sound. And praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, when all of this happened, who's the house, Sunday school class? Who is the house that when this... That then, after all that happened, the house was filled. Did you get it? Who's the house? We are the house. The house was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord. Who's the house of the Lord? You are the house of the Lord. You get filled with the Lord when you begin to lift up Him and praise Him and lift your voices unto Him. The cloud will fill your life, the very presence of God, so that the priest could not stand. They were drunk, staggering around. What meaneth this? To minister by reasons of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Acts chapter 2. That was your Old Testament type of the New Testament day of Pentecost. The filling of the house with the glory of God. And when that day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord, in one place, making the same sound. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That word mighty means violent. Who wants some of God's violence? He wants to get violent with you. He wants to get out of you that junk. What do you think the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire is for? To burn out the chaff, to burn out the junk. And we won't let it go sometimes, and it has to get violent with us. And it filled what? What did it fill? All the house. Where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues. That picture's a big ball of fire blowing into that upper room and dividing upon 120 of them and setting down upon each of them. God dividing Himself. Fire. God is a consuming fire upon each of them And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You lift up your voice and praise Him, He'll fill that house. Why do you love to praise the Lord so much? I want my house filled. Now, you can stand there like dummies if you want to, but I'm going to fill my house. Does that make sense? That's strong. I know it may maybe offend somebody, but I want my house filled. I want your house filled. I want to get your attention. I want you to lift up your voice. I want you to praise Him because I know. How do I know? Because I've had my house filled. How do you know you've had your house filled? Because I can talk in tongues. Acts chapter 8. Gotta go fast. We just studied this in the Wednesday night Acts study group. Verse 5, Philip goes to Samaria. In verse 5 it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. He preached Christ to them. He got them salvation, saved. And then he got them water baptized. Nothing about the Holy Ghost yet. You see? Let's drop down. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word, a slogos, of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, Holy Ghost specialists, who when they were come down prayed for them, that they might receive, lambano, grab a hold of, the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They only had water baptism. They laid their hands on them, and they received something else. The Holy Ghost. Now, say, don't say that they talked in tongues. Drop down to verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Now, he's talking to Simon, the sorcerer. And that word matter is the Greek word logos, and it means something being said. The spoken words. They were talking in tongues. Now, that's where you need to be able to look up the Greek words. You see, you totally missed that. That word matter is logos. Something spoken, something being said. Simon wanted it. He didn't care about Philip's ability to cast out devils or to heal the sick or to get people saved or water baptized. He wanted that, what he was doing. And they were talking in tongues. Acts chapter 9. The apostle Paul, on the way to Damascus, pocket full of warrants, threatenings, messing with God's woman. What did God do to him? Knocked him off his donkey. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from the eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Doesn't say he spoke in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Gotta go fast. You need to see this. 1 Corinthians 14. The same man, the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote the majority of the New Testament scriptures, the same man writes these words. Verse 15. Well, 14, verse 14. For I pray in an unknown tongue. What is he praying? Does he have tongue language then? My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? Conclusion. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding also. Did he have a tongue language? Verse 18. Paul thanked his God for it. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Let's read it again. Some of you didn't. I thank my God. Who's he thanking? I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Where is he doing all this talking? Because the next verse tells you he's not going to do it in church that much. We're going to get into that next sermon. All right, I want to read one more. Go down to verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let's read it one more time. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. What are the majority of the denominations doing today? Forbidding to speak with tongues. How can they do it? They won't teach it. So they explain it away. And I would too if I hadn't experienced it. Am I right? All right. Well, I'm back in Acts. Did Paul talk with tongues? All right. Acts chapter 10. Some of you are saying, how many more of these you've got? Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, we just studied him last week. I enjoyed that study. I really enjoyed that. That was a good study. Cornelius, a good man. He's a Roman Catholic. Read verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Rome's in Italy. A Roman Catholic. Speaks to me of the charismatics, and the, well, not so much charismatics, but charismatic to be. He will be. But the denominational races that I pointed out in this study. And boy, I better get off of that. So let's go Cornelius. Peter's gone to Cornelius' house. Jump over to verses 40-something. 44. Peter goes, well, I need this. Verse 34. Peter comes to Cornelius' house and he says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, you know how many times we use that particular scripture to our own good? You know, God's no respecter of persons. Do you know what he's really talking about here? What's fixing to happen to Cornelius? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. God's no respecter of persons. He wants you to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't respect just the Jew to get it or just those back there in A.D. 30 through A.D. 100. He's no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, help me, today, and forever. Now verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, what did the Holy Ghost do? Fell on some of them. All of them which heard the word. Now that might mean something. That's good. I brought that out Wednesday night. You don't hear the word, you don't hear the Holy Ghost. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? Verse 46. For, Greek word God, means because. Angel told Mary, you will call his name Jesus, for. Because he shall save his people. Jesus says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't have two masters. For. Because you will serve the one and hate the other. Because. It means because. For. Verse 46. For they heard them what? How did they know that the Holy Ghost had been given? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Don't leave out that point. When the Holy Ghost whelms up within you, let it magnify God. That's what it's one purpose that it's for, is to praise Him. Whew. And then they got water baptized. Let me get that while I'm right here at it. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? See, that's not that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. And he commanded. Is water baptism optional? Why? Because Peter said he commanded them to be baptized. Whew! How far are we off? Where has the traditions of man taken us? Acts chapter 10. I want to go to Acts chapter 19. And I got to find out where I'm at in my notes. Have lost myself. I know I've lost some of you. Acts chapter 19. Paul here goes to Ephesus. Now, How do you know you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit? All right. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they say, we don't even know about this thing. And he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. And we've already looked at water baptism, how John's baptism differs from Jesus' baptism. Wisdom writers tell them what Jesus' baptism really is. Holy Ghost. John said, I baptize you with water. But there's one that's coming who's mightier than me, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Verse 5. When they heard this, I think Paul just told them what I just told you. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, don't make prophecy hard. You ain't got to be in this thing 5 years, 10 years, 7 years, 8 years to prophesy. Okay? What'd they do? What'd they do? How did Paul then know that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Has God given us a way of knowing? Have I showed you five places in the book of Acts where either it says directly that they spake with tongues, or that we can look up the original Greek words, or we can compare scriptures? Five different places. Now, the Bible says that a threefold cord is hard to break. I've given you a... Now, stand with me.